I have a friend who is a retired mason. He was a stonemason. He was a bricklayer. He did lots of stuff with chimneys and houses and all those other wonderful things in that life. And he's retired now, but he often talks about his life as a stonemason, as a person who was a bricklayer and worked so much in that industry. And he said, the hardest part of the job was always those first few years when he was an apprentice. Because as an apprentice, he got the wonderful tasks of carrying the bricks up and down the ladders, stacking the bricks here and then moving them to stack them over there, shoveling sand, moving sand, bringing the sand and the mortar up to the roof, basically being a mule, carrying and moving and carrying and moving. And he said there were times during those first several years as an apprentice that he felt like quitting, that it was too hard. He didn't want to go on. His boss kept yelling at him because he kept on making mistakes. But he continued and persevered through his apprenticeship into the next steps into becoming a journeyman and then a master bricklayer. Because during that time, he saw a hope, a future, something more than the toil of what he was doing today, something more than the kind of the aches and pains, the hurts of the day as you carry about and do those things. And his experience of that hope is what St. Paul is reminding us today in our second reading. St. Paul isn't telling all the unmarried boys and girls, young men and women in our congregation, that it's better that you be priests and religious sisters. Although if you are called to that, please answer that call. It's a joyous call. What he's trying to remind the early church of is that we have a hopeful future. That the toils and troubles of this present time aren't the end and aren't the things that actually should consume us, but rather the hope of the future, the hope of where we are called to be as sons and daughters of God, as living witnesses to Jesus Christ, is our hope. Is our way forward. And we all know where we're going, right? Right? Heaven? Anybody not going to heaven here? Right? Yeah, nervous laughter. Ooh, I don't know, right? I pray, right? I pray that I make it there. Hopefully I will pass through purgatory quickly. But my hope is in the kingdom, and is in the resurrection. It is the promise that Jesus Christ gave to us. And that hope helps me and should fortify me and fortify each one of us as we deal with what goes on in our lives here and now. Because we can't ignore the problems around us. If you and your husband or wife, if the wife or husband, if they fought together today, please seek healing right away. Don't wait to forgive each other. Deal with it now, yes. But don't deal with it as a problem that is so grand, but rather something that brings us closer to the kingdom of heaven. Something that we see the hopeful grace of God through. If you were as a young man or young woman today, disobeyed your mom and dad, please don't do it tomorrow. But rather seek forgiveness in the hope of the kingdom. Not because it'll solve our problem today, we pray that it does, but because it brings us closer to God and closer to one another. And that is what St. Paul is trying to remind us of. That if when we get preoccupied with the little things of the world and lose our focus on the hope of the kingdom, then we begin to fail at being a brother or sister, a son or daughter, a loving child of God. We begin to fail to do what God wants us to do. And what is that that God wants us to do? Well, he wants us to live a holy life. And so when Jesus enters a synagogue today and begins to teach people, they hear that call to the holy life. And that hear the power of his word. That word that he has promised to us that lives within us through our baptism, that we are called to share with one another. And so when he confronts the unclean spirit, he doesn't confront it with violence or hatred or prejudice. He confronts the unclean spirit with the love of God, with the word of God. Get out of him. Go. And it's the word of God that Jesus gives to his disciples and reminds his disciples again and again and again and again and again, as he reminds us a multitude of times that his word is the word of grace, the word of passion, the word of love, the word of joy, the word that defeats sin and death, the word that overcomes hatred and anger, the word that reaches out in compassion and mercy, and an invitation to join together as one body, as in one our Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray in our Eucharistic prayer at each and every Mass, that we become one. And it is that word that we are invited to share with each other. But to share the word, you got to know the word. You got to know who he is. You got to walk with him and talk with him and rest with him and laugh with him and cry with him and deal with Jesus in those things around us, those things that St. Paul say might distract us. And as we get to know him, we share him. Because just as my friend, as he became a journeyman and then a master, we too, when we become journeymen in our faith, masters of our faith, we then teach our children and those around us who Jesus Christ is and how he lives within our lives and how his word isn't just a dream, but is a reality. That when we plant it and let it grow within our hearts, we begin to participate and live within the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims. Repent and believe, the kingdom of God is at hand. And for 2,000 years, Christians still haven't believed it. And many times I don't. But Jesus invites us today to come. Because like the unclean spirit, we know who he is. I know who you are. We know who he is. You are the Holy One of God. And we repeat those words. Because we know who Jesus is. But unlike the unclean spirit, we do not run from Jesus. Rather, we embrace him. We come to his cross and embrace the cross so that we might become like he is. That we might be the bearers of the good news. Because Jesus invites us into that relationship to come, to believe, and to live our faith fully and joyfully in the love of God. So let us not be overcome with the worries of the world. Yes, we must deal with them. Yes, we must work with them. Yes, we must love them. But let us also embrace them in that love of Christ so that in us and through us we might bring forth the kingdom of God and show that face of love, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness, that face of justice to those around us. Because that is who we are. That is what we do. That is who Jesus calls us to be.